The 23rd Psalm is one of those familiar sets of words that I thought I'd left behind, you know, grown out of. It seemed too simplistic, maybe even too childish. Then I heard Rabbi Harold Kushner speak about this so familiar passage on the radio. Now, Kushner is the author of the book When Bad Things Happen to Good People, a book that made a lot of sense to me, so I thought I would listen to what he had to say. And what he had to say made me want to re-examine this. His book on the 23rd Psalm has been on my shelf for more than a year. It's been a discipline to delve into this text from my past. I have to admit that I've always focused on that first line, that first phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd," and promptly got caught up in the God question in the metaphor of shepherd as God. I've thought for a long time that, well, maybe that was a nice view from when I was a child of the farm and fields even. But today, my God is so abstract, it can't be captured in any image. So this one feels very alien, relevant. But instead of translating it into different language, different metaphors, I threw it all away. Rabbi Kushner speaks extensively about this God image, about one's personal need for a sense of security. He says that a child usually feels secure with their parents. It is our parents who provide for us, after all, and keep us safe, just as the shepherd does with their flock of sheep. We often arrange our lives to replicate those feelings we had as children, like marrying a partner, just like dear old dad or mom. The shepherd is a God who imbues such a sense of security, even if he cannot save us from every danger of this world. So we're back to the God question. In doing my translating, I ask, what is it that I depend on most? What is it that I deem important enough in my life that it could match this sense of rock-bottom divinity? My answer to the question, what keeps me going, what keeps me from feeling alone in the world, and I don't pretend that it will necessarily be your answer, is the relationships I have built over the years. I depend on other people, in the broadest sense of the word people. While it is true that my cats may not be able to physically move mountains to save me from anything, I know that during a difficult conversation that was happening in my house, my favorite cat made his way to my lap and sat there kneading and purring, quietly affirming that I was loved by someone, at least. He reminded me that I was not alone, am not alone. My husband, my family, my friends, this congregation, that's the foundation of my life, the rock bottom upon which I depend for the meaning in my life. I think that God question has been the biggest stumbling block for me when I read this text, this well-beloved poem from some 900 years before our common era. Tradition has it that it was written by a guy ousted from the city where he was born and sent to the boonies to be a shepherd. Later, he won his way back to court and eventually became king. And he was known to be a musician, composing songs. Author and translator David Rosenberg posits that it was while living with his mother's family, an indigenous tribe of the Canaanites, and aboriginal folks still very tied to the land, that David learns the old art of writing songs. So I've been inspired to read this 23rd Psalm again. But you know, now I'm stuck on that second phrase. Well, Kushner goes through each phrase and makes a whole book out of it. I'm not going to do that. I'm stuck on that second phrase, "I shall not want." Well, I don't know about you, but there are indeed things I want. I'm not the only one who might be thinking that they'd like some better health. Beacon would like a place to hold our worship next fall. There's lots of things that we want. If we remember that the King James Version was translated in the early 1500s and that the meaning of the verb to want then was more like to lack, think of the nursery rhyme phrase, "For want of a nail, the shoe is lost." So then the line reads more like, I have all I need. What I want then isn't really relevant. So how about some gratitude instead? What would happen if we said thanks to the world every day? Let's recall the last lines of our story. We don't give thanks because we're happy. We're happy because we give thanks. I hadn't thought of it that way, and maybe the Dalai Lama didn't say it quite simple enough for me. It took a children's book. Wouldn't it be great to be grateful instead of always craving more, to escape the constant craving for stuff and the status and the identity that goes along with the new car or the latest music player? Toronto theologian Mary Jo Leddy calls it the captivity of craving. She means that shopping becomes more than a routine gathering of food and necessities. It becomes an endless search for identity, meaning, and purpose, happiness, through the stuff we buy. Our spiritual yearnings have been transformed into material yearnings without the understanding that they are different. And one answer does not solve the other quest. Leddy writes that our consumer culture whittles us down, gets us to thinking, I don't have enough, which becomes, I am not enough, which transforms into, I am not good enough. It's more than a guilt trip. Oh, I haven't worked hard enough. I'm not good enough at the work I do. And I feel powerless to do anything about this. I just know that I crave something more. Letty's answer to this is much more specific than the psalmist, I shall not want, or even in the modern terms, I have all I need. Her answer is radical gratitude. We are happy because we give thanks. Someone once asked me if I thought the glass was half empty or half full. He was asking, are you craving or are you saying thanks? Please don't misunderstand me. I don't think it's human to be always satisfied with whatever we have at the moment. I don't think I'm trying to say that. But I hope we can be grateful for that which we do have at any moment. There is, of course, a lot more in that simple set of verses that David wrote. I'll leave the rest for another time, or two or three. And I'll invite you to read with me silently this time as I read it in the words of Bobby McFerrin as he dedicated this verse, this song, to his mother. And again, it's on that second to last page. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. She makes me lie down in green meadows beside the still waters. She will lead. She restores my soul. She rights my wrongs. She leads me in a path of good things and fills my heart with songs. Even though I walk through a dark and dreary land, there is nothing that can shake me. She has said she won't forsake me. I am in her hand. She sets a table before me in the presence of my foes. She anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, surely goodness and kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in her house forever, forever and ever. Glory be to our mother and daughter and to the Holy of Holies, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.